jump to item four or six or whatever, the Klamath. And begin with that. Item six. Taking us back to Grenada and warmth and happiness. Mr. St. John.
Good afternoon, Chairman Anderson, members of the board. Thank you, Matt St. John, the lead for your TMDL development unit. And as requested at the September 10th board workshop, I'm here today to give you an update on the status and schedule of the Klamath River TMDLs and the site-specific dissolved oxygen objective for the Klamath River. So yes, it was a warm and happy day. And at the September 10th workshop, we received, as you know, oral comments. And since that meeting, our staff, along with our whole TMDL development team, meaning EPA Region 9 and EPA Region 10, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and our contractor Tetra Tech, have been working on responding to both the written and oral public comments. And in particular, are into two categories, responding to comments related to the implementation plan and comments relating to our analysis, and particularly the modeling analysis. And at the September 10th meeting, there was a specific request to have additional communication regarding our modeling analyses, as well as a request for a 90-day extension to the public review period, and a request for providing a secondary additional public review opportunity. So the purpose of this presentation is to update you on the status and schedule and the outcome of those particular requests. So as I mentioned, we've been responding to comments related to both the implementation plan and the modeling work. And with respect to the implementation plan, we're addressing the comments and providing continue to provide clarifications and modifications in response to the two comments. And as one example, one of the things we spent a lot of time talking about at the September 10th meeting was that for efficiency reasons, we are now recommending the development of a single basin-wide agricultural waiver for ag practices. And that's just an example of the types of revisions that we're currently working on. With respect to modeling, our whole team has been paying careful attention and spending a lot of time looking at the comments. And we have just completed kind of one phase of our assessment, and we've prepared a memo that has been provided to you and is available for the public. And it's a memo which outlines our team's preliminary response to the review of the models that was presented by the U.S. Geological Survey on behalf of the Bureau of Reclamation. So I want to summarize in brief the points that we are making in this memo. And then if the board would like, my colleague Sue Keitel from EPA Region 9 is here to actually read the whole memo to you if you would like. But let me go ahead and summarize it and then follow up with our schedule. So in short, our team continues to stand behind our TMDL and the analysis that we've done. We believe that the Klamath River TMDL models are scientifically sound and good tools for TMDL development. Nevertheless, our team believes that the TMDL models and its documentation can be strengthened by incorporating some of the key recommendations by U.S. Geological Survey. So therefore, we're in the process. We've made a decision, and we're moving ahead to make some minor revisions to the model and adding relevant documentation to the modeling work. Given that work that we're doing, it means that we have made a decision that we're not going to come before you for hearing at the October 28th and 29th meetings as currently scheduled and publicly noticed. So this kind of serves as the first formal opportunity to say that we're canceling that board hearing. And this presents the schedule, our staff's proposed schedule. We propose to come back to the board at the December 10th board meeting here in Santa Rosa and to provide an update to the board on the revisions to the staff reports, both the TMDL staff report and the dissolved oxygen staff report, as well as the basin plan amendment language, with a particular focus on the modeling work and the results of the additional modeling and work that we're doing and model documentation. Following that December 10th update to the board, we've made a decision to provide a second opportunity for public comment. So we anticipate wrapping up what would then be a final draft of the TMDL staff reports and sending it out for public review in late December for a 30-day public review period. That public review would be limited to the areas of the staff report that have been revised since the public review draft, the first public review draft. We will receive public comments after that 30-day period, make whatever necessary revisions we will, and then come before you at the March 3rd scheduled board meeting for adoption. So with that is my update. I'm open to answer any questions, and as I mentioned, my colleague Sue Keitel is here to, on behalf of our whole team, read into the record the memo that we have prepared, if you'd like.
All right. Just for clarification, Klamath item would not come up October 28th, 29th. Then there are no other items. The board's not going to meet on those dates. Okay. Questions, staff? Mr. Hales.
Thanks for the update, Matt. The 30-day second public review draft is going to be just on the changed sections only from the last draft that was out. Do those comments also address the oral comments that were taken at our meeting in Grenada?
They will, and the revisions that we will make for that second public review draft will incorporate the oral comments that we received at that meeting.
Thanks.
And the response to comments document that will be part of that second public review draft will reflect also the oral comments, as well as all written comments.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Noren?
Thanks for the update, Matt. Can I ask, from the standpoint of the model, there was contentiousness about that model last we met, and do you anticipate rerunning the model? And if such, how do you anticipate that would change the allocations and load allocations as you move on down that river?
Well, the memo provides in a fair amount of detail the model revisions that we are proposing to make in response to some of the key issues that the USGS commented on. Following those revisions, we are going to rerun our current conditions scenario, the natural baseline conditions, and each of the TMDL compliance scenarios. So we are prepared to rerun those. With regard to the significance, the anticipated significance of the results. Models are incredibly complicated. Anytime you make some changes, it's hard to predict. With that said, our contractor has already done some sensitivity analysis with regard to some of the parameters that are being revised for consistency, and we don't believe that they're going to have significant significant changes to the TMDL allocations and targets.
On another related item, December 3rd would be a prospective adoption date. Does that leave enough runway to get this thing through with?
March 3rd.
Sorry, stand corrected, March 3rd. Does that leave enough time and runway to get this through all the follow-through process and get through consent decree requirement?
Well, I would like Sue Keitel to respond, but we believe that if all goes smoothly after March 3rd, that the consent decree schedule is still doable. There is no question that it's tighter.
Thank you. Sue Keitel with EPA. I'd just like to second what Matt said. March 3rd is something that we as a group believe is possible. It is very tight, as it has to go to the State Board and then OAL and EPA for approval. And with it, the DO that has previously been Appendix 1 to the public draft that came out this summer, the DO site-specific objective for the main stem. We do think March 3rd is possible, facilitated by positive action by your board and the State Board.
Do those processes run in parallel? Do they all, are they sequential or parallel?
My understanding is the plan that we are talking about is to have it submitted to OAL and EPA concurrently so that the review processes can be going on in parallel, and then the approvals have to be sequential.
Okay. Thank you.
Not to push too hard, but March 3rd date is a Wednesday, and if EPA is okay with the 3rd, are you okay with the 4th as well? Just because if we don't finish it on the 3rd, we had originally planned to have 2 days on this item. So.
I think like the model, the uncertainty and the margin of accuracy, that would be fine.
And Matt, in terms of reporting back December 10th, do you anticipate having fresh runs of the model? And I mean, there will be a substantive update as to where things stand on the 10th. Do you think that's doable from now to then?
I do think it's doable. Our contractor is hard at work making the revisions and beginning the new scenario runs. And we proposed December 10th with the expectation and knowing the significance of the workload to have the model results in a form that we can make a meaningful presentation to you. We will be bringing our contractor to that meeting, as well as hoping that both Oregon and EPA Region 10, as well as EPA Region 9, will be here as well. So it'll be a team presentation to you.
Okay. You've offered us the thought of having Susan read to us 4 or 5 pages. Some, you know, what do we need?
It's really your pleasure. It's in the record, and if you would like us to read it to emphasize some of our position, we're happy to do so on behalf of our team.
Okay, well, we'll peruse through it and take other comments from folks, unless board members have other questions of staff. We'll hold off, and if people dig in deep on the memo, we may have you come back to reflect on either their comments or what it says so we have it clear in the record. But for now, we'll entertain anyone else choosing to address us on this item. Question. Why don't you come forward?
Yeah. You can't keep me away from My question would be directed, I think, probably at Matt, and it's an inquiry on the timeline for the development of the ag waiver. Is it anticipated that we will have dialogue on that prior to the presentation on March 3rd? Are we looking between now and March 3rd to have that dialogue and develop that waiver? Or is that going to come post-adoption, was my question.
And if you would just state your name for the record. So we
Jeff Fowl, Siskiyou County Farm Bureau, Etna, California.
David Leland of your staff, I'll respond to that. The anticipation at this point is that we would not be beginning the dialogue on the future ag waiver as part of our tasks over the next couple of months here leading up to March the 3rd. That's a future action that's anticipated in here, but it's not something that we anticipate developing and having ready or on the table at this time. So that's the plan at this point.
So you're saying not on the table at this time, that this time means for adoption by March 3rd?
The schedule is to have the ag waiver prepared for adoption in 2012.
Mr. Chair, and we should clarify that we will be bringing an interim waiver
That's
forward,
correct.
Which
right.
was in the draft that was released previously.
And again, the timing on the interim waiver is?
That would be part of the
March 3rd?
Part of the package on March the 3rd. That's right.
All right. Okay. Mr. Norn?
Just to be clear, though, that waiver process and maybe even interim waiver, that is very much a public process.
And thank you for raising that. I'm calling it another process because it is another process.
Yeah, I mean, we have full.
We would anticipate seeking input from all of the stakeholders who would be interested in that in the process of developing that waiver language. It would go out for public review. There would be a comment period. We would respond to those comments, and all of that would happen before it would be brought before you for consideration.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other? Please come forward.
Hi, this is Tim Hemstreet with PacifiCorp. Appreciate the opportunity to ask a few questions here, and appreciate staff's report on the modeling issues. I guess a few comments I have just on the just a quick perusal of the comment memo that Matt passed around would be that addresses a lot of USGS's comments, and PacifiCorp also had comments that were similar to USGS's, the USGS comments in many ways, but also raised a few additional issues that were, we think, very significant but weren't contained in the USGS comments themselves. So I guess I'd request or I guess ask whether those comments will be addressed as well in the modeling issues or whether the model revisions are strictly addressing the USGS comments alone. And then also and I'm not sure if Matt can respond to that now, but I guess that's one question we would have. And then also we'd request that when staff report is available in late December per the schedule that Matt had up there, we'd certainly like to, as we requested when the TMDL was first released, to have all those model files made available. Certainly our public review of the draft staff report will involve a full review of all the modeling files that were produced and on which the allocations are based upon. So we request that those be available as soon as possible and not later than the start of the 30-day public review period, because our review really can't be completed until all those files are available. And I think that's all my comments right now.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Susan.
Thank you. Sue Keitel with EPA again. I wanted to be able to make some comments to you on behalf of EPA should you choose to read our memo on your own. And those comments are that things we've already brought up. The consent decree is obviously a very important deadline for EPA. It's one we intend to honor, and we would very much like to support the board's staff in their progress and the approval by the regional and state board in their approvals. But it is very much on our minds. We also wanted to reiterate that this is, again, it's a joint process. And as the memo makes clear, our technical team is made up of EPA Region 10, EPA Region 9, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and the North Coast Board staff. And the decisions on what we do technically to support the model work and the TMDL decisions, we do jointly. So it, as a technical group, we bring those agencies to bear on what is put forward. Also, to support that, I wanted to reiterate that the comments that have come up around the model address very detailed issues, and we are, as a team, looking at them and addressing them. But we do want to reiterate that TMDLs for EPA do not need to be perfect. They do not need to perfectly capture reality. They need to be adequate to allow us to determine the magnitude of allocations that are needed. We feel that the model that we're using does that very adequately. The allocations are very large, and as Matt indicated, our understanding of the model revisions that we're looking at may have small effects, but we expect them to be quite small. And so we feel that the model is a good tool, and just wanted to make sure that that's clear. That and I was given authority by each of the agencies to speak on behalf of them right now, that all four agencies feel that the model is good and that it is adequate for the purposes of the TMDL. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Would have one question to Matt in terms of, I mean, we've had correspondence from USGS. Are they engaged and involved, and have they give the sign of blessing to these revisions, and or are you figuring it out on your own as to what their concerns were and trying to meet them, or are you talking to them and integrating them in any fashion?
Well, we've had a conference call, which actually occurred prior to the September 10th meeting, a call with U.S. Geological Survey staff that provided the review. In addition, the modeler of our team, Dan Turner, who's with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, which happens to be in Portland, Oregon, which is where the reviewers from USGS are, met with them individually and talked through the comments at substantially more depth and had a dialogue about our team's response that is reflected in the memo that we just presented. With respect to does our revisions, are they being endorsed by USGS? I am not prepared to say that. They will. We will be posting this memo, and they'll have an opportunity to take a look at it. They've made it clear that they did this review on behalf of the Bureau of Reclamation. So I think that they may be looking. I mean, I really can't speak to them for them.
But you've sought out their opinion, and this memo is a product of those discussions. And if it satisfies them, that's up to them. We won't know that.
Well, we've had discussions with them about their comments, and indicated where we intend to make some model revisions, and indicated to them the places where we have different best professional judgment. Right. Modeling has an element of best professional judgment, and there are things in the USGS review that our team is not agreeing to revise.
And it put you on the spot, but the Pacific Corps representative asked whether or not their comments had been reflected in this revisions. Do you have any reflection to offer on that?
Yeah, this memo specifically was written with regard to the USGS model review. The Pacific Corps comments with respect to the model have significant overlap with regard to the USGS comments. PacifiCorps' comments also had other and additional comments related to the model, and then quite a lot of comments related to the policy, related to how we're interpreting and using the results of our analysis to set TMDLs. This memo does not address that at all. And we will be addressing that fully in our full response to comments document.
All right. And again, I'm not going to engage in a back and forth, but I am interested if Pacific Corps has any reflections on the reflection. Specifically, I mean, my question is, you may have gotten the memo the same time I got it, and you haven't had a full chance to reflect on it. On the other hand, you do have something in front of you that proposes model revisions, and is there anything, any gaps, any comments that, you know, you'd like to apprise us of at this point?
Well, one gap I guess I would see just off the bat would be the boundary conditions used for the model. We, in our comments, we raised the issue that the boundary conditions at Upper Klamath Lake, assuming that TMDL was met, the boundary conditions are set at a level that's even below the average expected result, basically, of a full Upper Klamath Lake TMDL implementation. So I don't see that adjustment to that boundary condition being addressed. That was something we had raised that the USGS did not raise. So there's a few... that's foremost, I guess, in my mind, is that that's something that we think has a significant impact on applications that I don't see, the model being rerun to revise that critical input. Beyond that, though, I mean, there are, as I said before, there are a lot of other critical elements of the model that we had issues with that the USGS didn't raise in their review. So I'm trying to understand, other than that boundary condition one, I'm not quite sure what else may be there, but that's the most significant in my mind that doesn't appear to be addressed. So I guess it appears, and I guess my question back would be whether that is something that the staff intends to address in their review of the model, or is the model, the model adjustments that are listed here in attachment one, is that the complete list of adjustments that they plan to make, or are there others in response to our comments as well?
All right. If you don't need to respond, Matt, if you have a direct response, that's fine.
It's just to say that by all means, we're going to respond to every comment. And with respect to the Upper Klamath Lake boundary condition under natural conditions, we will be responding as to how we're proceeding on that. Like we've said in our staff report, it's based on the Upper Klamath Lake TMDL.
All right. We look forward to December 10th. Probably look forward to the gap between now and then more, but... All right, anybody else that care to address this item? Dr. Diaz.
Thank you. My name is Mike Diaz with Water Course Engineering, and I just have one general question and a concern, in that the USGS review focused primarily on Keno Reservoir. They didn't review the RMA models, the riverine models at all. And so that means their review is restricted to Oregon. And so the comments that I identified nicely, I've only looked at it briefly, in this attachment really don't focus on any of the California modeling. So that, I think, might be where Mr. Hemstreet is going regarding review of these other comments that might deal with modeling, because in a sense, this portion of the river is not even in California. And so focusing on addressing the USGS review without looking at the other portions, and then looking at these revisions and an open 30-day public review comment on a breach that's in Oregon may not apply that well or be easily transferred into California without looking at the whole system. That's my comment.
All right.
I refer to a comment I made earlier in the day, but we'll pass.
It's just to point out two places in the memo that we actually do. Under the attachment one, the initial list, which again is an initial list of model revisions. Number one, removal of the remnant code for the CEQUAL W2 under for the Keno Reservoir Reach. That is something that's within Oregon. But then the second item under the model documentation, so the number two towards the top of the page, is that we will be providing additional documentation with respect to the decision for reducing the incoming shortwave solar radiation by 20% for the riverine segments, and that's throughout the entire river, which was one of a significant comment by PacifiCorps. And we acknowledge that we inadequately documented that the assumption and the decision that we were making, and so we're providing additional documentation on that. And on the fifth page, just another example, number seven, a comment from PacifiCorps. We are the turbulence-induced re-aeration factor that was implemented into the TMDL and all scenarios. We acknowledge that it's inappropriate to have that for the scenarios that are without project. So that's our natural conditions baseline and TMDL compliance scenarios. So those will be removed.
Okay. Any other board questions, comments? I see a back and forth evolving here.
Sorry, one comment. Just
for the record, again, state your name.
I did want to see if it would be possible to get a commitment that the model files will be available at the start, at least of the 30-day comment period. I'm not sure if that's something that Matt has thought through or staff about.
I see staff affirming that. So, yep. With that, thank you. And again, the item will not be heard by this board October 28th, 29th, as previously planned, but we're looking at March 3rd, possibly 3rd and 4th. So,
December 10th.
And then we're back here in Santa Rosa December 10th for an update on the state of things at that time. And if Susan wants to read to us, thank you for your comments. Thanks for coming. Thanks for representing both regions. I hope you're paid twice today. All right. Thank you. We'll go back to item 5.